Last week, they opened upstairs at Civic. This week, they opened downstairs in the Studio Theater, where the interesting, weird, groovy, and strange and exciting stuff happens, when one might say, in a positioning statement. And here to defend that or deny it or something else is Marianne McLaughlin. Hello, Marianne.
Hi.
Directing instead of acting for a change.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when they called you and when you got in touch with them, they talked about this play, Bug. Did you have a clue what that was?
No, I really didn't.
Yeah.
I had submitted. They opened up. They let all of the directors that were interested in directing there submit ideas for plays that they might like to direct, which was very nice. And I actually submitted something else, but then I was asked to read this, and I had never heard of it before. Mm. And I think within, by the end of the first act, I was smitten. Mm. I thought, this is what I want to do.
and talk about that mood, that reaction you had relative to how you feel about Civics downstairs.
Oh, I think it absolutely personifies what the downstairs should be. It is an alternative theater. It is a place for plays that actors can audition for that will that you would not normally see on a main stage, or not really are not chosen because of how much money they're going to make, mm-hmm. but rather chosen because of the subject matter and to cause people to think and maybe explore and go into different worlds that they haven't normally been exposed to, which in the case of Bug is very true.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So let's start getting into Bug. First, and even from the teeny bit I knew, I can kind of understand where the name came from. But what's the reference or the implication of the name?
The implication is that there is an infestation of bugs in a little motel room outside of Oklahoma City. But the question is are they real or are they just imagined? And so you are able to travel in the world of the characters who are in the room. I'll let them explain that when it comes to them. You're able to go inside of their world and make your own decision as an audience member. There's a lot of mystery mm-hmm. behind it. Mm-hmm.
Well, even just that first level of the infestation in a motel room, that takes care of everything.
Exactly.
For the scenery and the set and everything else.
You know, one fun thing I got to do when I was doing a lot of research is just look at pictures of old hotels that you mm-hmm. see along the side of the road with a big sign, you know, mm-hmm. motel. Mm-hmm. And
$21.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and look at the insides of the rooms and yeah. And so this play, it's just explores this other world, this mm-hmm. other, you know, culture. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way, that maybe we may not always see. And you know, and the other thing too is when I read this, I cared about the characters. You know, admittedly, it was, you know, it just captured me because it was just so strange but so wonderful. But I fell in love with the characters too. I fell in love with their humanity and their there's also a lot of comedy, really. I fell in love with the way they view the world and it's just, yeah, it's been a really nice exploration.
Well, we have the two principal characters here as Agnes is Josephine Keefe. So Josephine, who are you as Agnes?
Let's see. Agnes is a waitress who lives in this motel room outside of Oklahoma City. She is struggling with her own traumas and history that has brought her to this place. She's run away and is hiding from her abusive ex-husband. And over the course of the play, you start to discover why she is in so much mental and emotional pain, and what she does to try and self-medicate that, you know, for the good or bad, and eventually meeting a person who she is, for the first time in a very long time, interested in and intrigued by someone who is awaking her to a different form of reality than maybe she previously was living before.
And so, Danny Anderson, as Peter, what is it about you as Peter that that Agnes needs, that's working for her?
I think the characters relate to each other in the sense he comes in, we said before, kind of the mysterious stranger. He's supposedly from the area, but doesn't sound like anyone else. He's a veteran, so he's been overseas and seen different things. And I think he comes in essentially kind of a strange lone wolf type, and you can see right away that something's attracting him to Agnes. And I think it is their shared vulnerability. He can tell that she's lonely, like she said, self-medicating. And I think maybe for the first time in a long while, he sees someone that he might be able to link up with.
Mm-hmm. And is Peter also self-medicating?
Yeah, indeed, mm-hmm. indeed, yeah. So they have that where they relate to.
Which is, of course, the relevance of our society.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. It's they're, kind of underbelly characters, but they're very real people. And, you know, that's what makes it interesting.
So that's what they have in common. That's what pulls them together. Marianne, I'm going to ask you to therefore lead us into the part of the conflict, because you're going to know how far we should go into telling this story and how far we shouldn't.
Sure.
But any play needs the conflict. So what's not so good about this relationship?
Well, RC, her friend that works at the local bar with her, introduces her to Peter. And he ends up staying, and they make this connection. And as the play progresses, it's the thing about their story is it's also a love story, speeded along by the use of, different drugs that they use to escape from the reality with, to deal with their pain. So you see these two people connect in a very real way, and something draws them together, as Danny said, the shared pain. But then Danny's reality, the reality that he brings, he gently, through their relationship, coaxes her into this reality that is
in every case, reality is just fraught with quotation marks.
Which involves a lot of paranoia, mm-hmm. A lot of paranoia from the things that he has experienced in the way that he views his world. You watch them go on this journey that becomes very destructive, and yet it's a connection that they make that brings them together, almost like soulmates. And yet you're going, where is this going? Where is he taking her? And she goes with him. Mm. And ultimately, it leads to something that, well, you have to come and see the play to find out.
Well, there's inherently a strong bond when two people can get together and be against something and have that great up. Yeah. But so how far do you want to tuck into your conspiracy paranoia sense? How much do we reveal right now about
that?
That's
what I was going to say, conspiracy theories.
Not much, but yeah, that is very on the nose. It's this, with the drugs and with the delusions, it's very much a conspiracy theory, kind of schizophrenic rabbit hole or bug hole that they go down. That does become destructive and, pretty.
And based on what has gone on in Peter's life and the traumas he's had earlier?
Yeah, definitely. Some of it's connected to his paranoia from the war, what happened to him with the military and what they may or may not have done to him is definitely a driving factor in his perspective.
So now we've encountered the connection and the essential love of that. We've found the worm, the bug that makes everything dismal and horrible, and the drugs. You say there's also some humor amidst all of this.
Oh, the humor is just, well, and it's humor that we all experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we can all relate, you know, as human beings, when we watch the things that happen to them in this little room, because they never leave the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but there's also, I wanted to say, it's a 5-character play, but there are really 6 characters, and that is the sound. The sound is a big part of this production, mm-hmm. and it really personifies what's going on, the psychosis, what's going on in their minds at the time. And so the sound is a big part. And as an audience member, you really want the audience to ask the question, is this real or isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the way that Tracy Letts wrote this play, and the way that he uses language, is he really takes the audience on a journey. And these two actors, as well as our full cast, they've worked very hard to try and do that, to take the audience on that journey, to make them question, well, could it be real or couldn't it? You know, that whole conspiracy theory thing, you know, mm-hmm. is that, could that in fact happen? Or, you know, is it possible?
Yeah. The question,
or are they crazy?
The question set up by the play Bug, which opens this Friday at Civic downstairs, Friday, Saturday night, 7:30, Sunday at 2. And then it's Thursday through Sunday for 4 weeks, so that it will conclude on the 14th of October. Either of you actors, maybe start with Josephine. When you do a play like this, you have a couple months that you and that character are living with each other, and you go to bed after a rehearsal thinking about this character and all these things. Describe that. Is there a certain pain in being an actor and having to confront this? Or what goes on in your life during a run like this?
Vern, what a question. Yes. Yes, I think there is that pain. It's a glorious pain. But it's there are certain plays, and I think for me as an actor and having also trained in Chicago, and I always felt like I've had a 1-degree separation from this play, from knowing people who worked on originating the play in Chicago and off-Broadway. My connection to Bug has always been that I've wanted to do it because it requires a tremendous degree of vulnerability and the openness to explore a character that is raw and vulnerable and coping and struggling so hard to get on top of her situation it does, you know, it does enter into my own psyche a little bit. I, the actors, then start to also feel vulnerable in my own life. I start to feel a little fragile, and I can sense that that's when there's a bit of a symbiotic relationship between myself and Agnes that I want to preserve and I want to protect, because it's the integrity of the role that matters to me most. Of course, my own mental wellness is important too, but like I want to go as far with Agnes as I possibly can, so that by the end of this I'm exhausted, but it's a glorifying, very fulfilling exhaustion that any actor just feels privileged to explore.
Mm-hmm. And any ditto to that, or any variance on that?
Definitely, it's a play I've wanted to do since college, and since it was written, and back to the first Chew space at the Civic being used appropriately. You know, it's just plays like this aren't produced enough in Spokane, because I don't think there's a market for it. So I've also wanted to get in the skin of this character for a long time, very much for same reasons Josephine said, but also besides the emotional state it takes us every night, it's also extremely physical. So, you know, Peter just puts a rock on the gas pedal about halfway through this show, and it doesn't relent. So when we finish, we are We are wasted. We are.
Danny said the other day, like, I can't tell what's real blood and what's fake blood.
Yeah. It's, you know, so you have the advantage of seeing the bags under our eyes, but yeah. It's worth it. It's fun, but yeah, it's a challenge. It takes its toll, yeah. But just like a good workout, you know, the pain's worth it.
And so the great tradition of the studio theater, I keep calling it downstairs, but the studio theater downstairs at Civic opening Bug this weekend. And so our two actors, Danny Anderson and Josephine Keefe, thank you.
Thank you.
And Marianne, a treat to have you back in this role.
Yeah, it's nice.